Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there were two children, a boy and a girl, who lived in a cold stone castle atop a windy bluff that was covered in sharp rocks and a mist that rolled into every tiny corner and crevice. The boy and the girl were orphans. They had never known their parents. For as long as they could remember, they'd always lived in the cold castle, in the employ of the king and queen of the castle, with the many other servants who single-mindedly tended to their singular tasks in the castle. The boy and the girl had a very important job, which was the preparation and service of oatmeal. And once the duties associated with that very important job were complete, they were expected to sit still in the cold castle and to draw no attention to themselves whatsoever. The preparation of the oatmeal was the fun part for the boy and girl, as well as the serving of the oatmeal and the doing afterwards of the oatmeal dishes. But the sitting still for many long hours afterwards, that part was not to the liking of the children at all. They would have liked to ride around the windy bluffs on the palace horses, or to picnic in the rose garden courtyard, or even to just squabble and fight with each other on the sharp rocks, slippery from the perpetual mist, or even to thumb through the many dry volumes of historical books in the castle library that the king and queen loved so and read every morning, afternoon, and evening. But alas, that was beyond their station, and so it was not possible for them to do so. Something exciting happened once at the castle, and the boy and the girl often thought about it when they were sitting still on their chairs in the servants' hall, waiting for the next opportunity to prepare and serve oatmeal and trying not to draw any attention to themselves whatsoever. It was a dark and stormy night when a princess, disguised as not a princess, rang the bell on the castle door and asked for refuge from the winds and the rain. Well, she was a very unusual not a princess and demanded to sleep on many mattresses piled atop each other. Even then, she could just not get comfortable, and it was revealed that she was, in fact, a princess after all. Well, she married the prince, and as long as they were at the castle, it was just full of laughter and excitement and activity, but alas, the couple were famed for their beauty and their gregariousness, and so were continually off on diplomatic journeys. It was with tears in their eyes that the boy, whose task was the service and preparation of oatmeal, and the girl, whose task was also the service and preparation of oatmeal, watched the prince and princess's ship sail out of the misty harbor into the wide world beyond it, whilst their red and blue and yellow silk flag waved gaily from the ship's mast and disappeared into the mists, the last bit of color in the kingdom leaving with the ship. For even the roses in the courtyard were a grayish sort of white color. The children knew, because the girl once dared to press one eye up to a bit of space between some cobbles in the courtyard wall to peek into the rose garden courtyard, and then she told the boy what she saw. The courtyard was paved with gray cobblestones and surrounded with thickly thorn rose brambles with delicate, grayish-white roses on them. And in the center of the courtyard sat a young woman who must have been a servant of the castle, for she was singularly devoted to the singular task of spinning a grayish-white spool of silk on a spinning wheel and spindle. And now this was the part that truly amazed the girl whose task was the preparation and service of oatmeal. The spindle was made entirely of gleaming gold. The other part, besides the awe-inspiring gleam of the pure gold of the spindle, amidst all that castle gloom, which surprised the servant girl, was the fact that, well, she'd never seen the silk-spinning servant ever before. Never. Not in the great servants' hall, not ever. It wasn't only the boy whose job was the preparation and service of oatmeal, and the girl whose job was the preparation and service of oatmeal, who sat in the great servants' hall waiting to perform their daily tasks whilst trying not to draw any attention to themselves. It was every servant in the castle, of which there were multitudes, all of whom had much time to glance at each other's faces without appearing to be staring, and silently wonder, what's that servant's story? Is he or she an orphan like me? Do they wish they had a different daily task, or do they take pleasure in their work? Do they, like me, long to ride the palace horses and to run outside the castle walls along the misty crags and bluffs? Do they wish, like I do, that it were allowable to strike up a conversation with another servant here, in the great servants' hall, where everybody's trying to draw no attention to themselves whatsoever? Well, there were hundreds of grim and silent servants there at any point in the day. There was the girl whose job was to churn and serve butter. There was the boy whose job it was to open and close the gray velvet castle draperies, as well as to keep them clean and in good repair. There was the librarian, the librarian's assistant, and the husher, whose job was to tell people to hush while the king and queen read the historical books they read mid-morning, afternoon, and every evening. There was the candle maker, there was the candle lighter and the candle snuffer. There was, very occasionally, the man who tended the fires that kept the castle warm and the historical volumes dry. He barely sat down, though, because his job was pretty much continuously demanding, on account of the damp mists which were unrelenting. But the servant girl, whose job was the service and preparation of oatmeal, had noted him sitting down in the great servants' hall on at least one occasion. But never, not once, was there the silk-spinning servant ever seated in the great servants' hall. Well, the girl would have noticed if she had, she was certain, on account of the young woman's singular appearance. Not only were her features remarkably symmetrical, and her eyes a quiet and muted shade of violet, but her skin had this porcelain-like quality to it that made it gleam like the golden spindle she worked on. Well, the boy whose job was the preparation and service of oatmeal and the girl whose job was the preparation and service of oatmeal had much time to ponder this mystery, this enigma, while sitting quietly in the great servants' hall, trying not to draw any attention to themselves between all the tasks relating to the preparation and service of oatmeal. And they did develop a few theories, which they whispered quietly to each other over the next several weeks amid the clatter of dishes, while they cleaned up after the serving of oatmeal, and also while they prepared oatmeal to serve to the king and queen. "Maybe," whispered the boy to the girl while he washed the pot that the oatmeal was cooked in, "the silk-spinning woman is actually a princess who is disguised as not a princess so as not to draw any attention to herself, so there won't be a great fuss made over who shall marry her." "Well, that seems unlikely," whispered the girl, while she dried the pot that the oatmeal was cooked in and replaced it on the stove dedicated to the cooking of oatmeal. "There's already been a princess disguised as not a princess at this castle, so what are the odds that it would happen another time? And furthermore, why would a princess disguised as not a princess be so singularly dedicated to the task of spinning silk on a golden spindle?" "Maybe," whispered the boy to the girl while he stirred the royal oatmeal with the royal spurtle which he used to stir the royal oatmeal, "she's a princess upon whom a terrible curse has been placed, and she is forever beholden to spin gray silk on a golden spindle, or an evil witch will steal her firstborn, or poison her true love, or turn her father into a frog, or some other terrible thing like that." "Well, that seems more likely," whispered the girl, as she removed her oatmeal preparation apron, tossed it down the laundry chute, and put on instead her oatmeal service apron. "Or," she continued to theorize, as the boy brought the dishes and utensils used by the king and queen as they ate their oatmeal, clattering back into the kitchen, "the beautiful young woman is not a beautiful young woman at all, but a terrible witch who has placed a curse on a princess whose beauty and youth she is forever draining by the act of spinning the silk on an enchanted spinning wheel with a golden spindle." "No way," scoffed the boy, as he ran a sack of whole oats through a stone grinder. "That's very far-fetched. You always take things a bit too far." and the girl pretended to accidentally step on the boy's foot while reaching for a gray silk bag into which to collect the stone ground oats, but really, she meant to step on his foot and knew he couldn't cry out in pain or he'd draw attention to himself. Well, the boy knew that the girl really meant to step on his foot and gave the girl the silent treatment for the rest of the day, which was not much of a stretch, really, as their only remaining task was to sit in the servants' hall silently. Well, that night, a terrible storm gathered on the horizon, and it blew steadily towards the castle on the craggy bluffs, so that the servant whose job it was to batten down the windows battened down the windows, and the servant whose job it was to shutter the shutters shuttered the shutters. And the servant whose job it was to batten down the doors battened down the doors, and then all the servants sat quietly in the great servants' hall, while the rain began to pelt the castle roof, and the wind began to batter the castle walls and shake the castle shutters and doors. The servant whose job it was to keep the fires burning so that the castle was warm and dry worked tirelessly to stoke the fires, and the candlelighter lit the candles, and the husher told all the servants, as well as the howling wind, to hush while the king and queen read their historical books. The servants listened and hushed, but the wind did no such thing. It howled on so furiously that the knock that came on the castle door was barely perceptible. But the servant whose job it was to answer the castle door heard it, and he rose to his feet at once. He answered the door and then announced to the king in his library, who looked up from his book, a concise history of gray woolen socks and their contribution to macro and macroeconomic tensions in the oat-producing regions of the Northern Hemisphere, that there was a knock on the door and that he would answer it at once. Then he returned to tell the king that there was an old woman at the castle door, begging refuge from the storm. She says that she only appears to be an old woman and is in fact a young and beautiful princess who has been cursed by a terrible witch who is forever draining her youth and beauty by the act of spinning gray silk on an enchanted spinning wheel with a golden spindle. She is searching for the witch so that she might break the spell upon her. "Well, that certainly sounds far-fetched," said the king, "but I will not deny her refuge from this storm. Bring her inside immediately and prepare for her a room with a crackling fire in it. Give her a gray wool blanket and some gray woolen socks to warm her, and make her a nice hearty bowl of oatmeal." "Right away, your highness," said the servant whose job was to answer the door, and he announced the king's commands to the servant. The servant whose job was to prepare rooms prepared a room. The servant whose job it was to fold and distribute gray woolen blankets brought a gray woolen blanket to the woman. The servant whose job was to knit and darn gray woolen socks brought a pair of gray woolen socks. And the boy and girl whose job was to prepare and serve oatmeal began to prepare oatmeal at once. "Well, we must help her," insisted the girl while getting down the oatmeal pot. "It's beyond our station to do so," answered the boy, who got out the stone ground oats. And then they took the oatmeal to the room in which the old woman was warming herself by the crackling fire. "Are you really a young and beautiful princess cursed by a horrible witch?" asked the girl. She couldn't help herself. "Yes," said the woman. "Does the witch have features that are remarkably symmetrical, and are her eyes a quiet and muted shade of violet, and does her skin have a porcelain-like quality to it that makes it gleam like the golden spindle she works on?" asked the girl. "Yes," said the woman. "We believe," said the boy, "that she is in the courtyard with the rose garden, singularly devoted to the task of spinning silk there." "Oh," gasped the old woman. "My search for her has been so long and so trying. Can I really be on the verge of finding her at long last?" And she took the bowl of oatmeal gratefully from the boy, and she ate it to gain some strength before confronting her terrible foe. "Take me to your king and queen," she asked the boy and the girl, throwing the woolen blanket off of her elderly shoulders when she had done the oatmeal. "It's not really our job to do that," said the girl, "but we should make an exception just this once." When the old woman approached the king and queen in their library, she was hushed by the husher, but she paid him no heed. She said. A candle flickered, and the queen looked up from her book, Tithing versus Taxation, an illustrated tome. "Your highnesses, I would like to trouble you to visit your rose garden courtyard. I believe my nemesis is toiling there at a task which allows her to drain my youth and beauty." "This does not seem possible," replied the queen. "I do not believe we have a rose garden courtyard. See, do we?" she asked the king. "It doesn't ring a bell," he said, looking up from his book. "Bells, a people's history?" "Sorry," said the queen, "I really don't think we can help you with that. Did you want some more oatmeal?" Well, the girl and boy who prepared and served oatmeal knew better than to speak out of turn about issues of no concern to them, especially if it involved confessing to sticking their noses where their noses had no business. But they did spend so many long hours wishing, in a castle where very little happened, that something would in fact happen, and the boy very uncharacteristically voiced an opinion, in as hushed a voice as possible. "If there is a rose garden courtyard, and I wouldn't know, because I'm not the type of servant who would peek through a hole in the chinking of the castle walls to see what's on the other side, nor would I know any servants who would do something like that, so I don't know if there is or not, but if there is, I think the servant who is tasked with unlocking and locking doors with keys would know." "Well, certainly," said the king. "A worthy suggestion," said the queen. "Fetch the servant who is in charge of unlocking and locking doors with keys." And the boy and girl went to the great servant's hall immediately and announced the queen's command, and the servant who was in charge of unlocking and locking doors with keys fetched the key that unlocked the door to the rose garden courtyard and brought it to the library where the king and queen had resumed reading. "Hush," said the husher. "Here is the key to the courtyard with the rose garden in it," announced the keyman. "Well, I'll be," said the king, stroking his long gray beard in astonishment. "Why ever would anyone conceive of such a fanciful thing?" "Picnickers and poets," scoffed the queen. "What will they think of next?" And a party consisting of the king, the queen, the old crone who had knocked on their castle door on the dark and stormy night, the servant who unlocked and locked doors with keys, and the girl and boy who prepared and served oatmeal, headed to the rose garden courtyard. The servant who unlocked doors unlocked the door and swung it wide open. The old woman darted into the courtyard immediately, and she threw herself on the surprised young woman who was spinning silk there. Well, there was a struggle. The young woman swung high, the old woman swung low. The young woman kicked and screamed, and the old woman flew at her with wildly swinging arms. They grappled, they wrestled, they fought. The old woman was pushed backwards, where she fell onto the spinning wheel and toppled over the golden spindle. She reached out to it, and when she touched it, something remarkable happened. "No," the young woman screamed, as a single drop of the old woman's blood was shed on the gray cobblestones of the courtyard. Well, at once the pale grayish-white roses in the brambles of the courtyard changed color. They bloomed red. A vibrant, beautiful red. And then the young woman aged so rapidly before everyone's eyes that she turned into dust, and she vanished. As she did, the old woman aged in reverse. She became younger and younger until she turned into a pretty, plump little baby crying on the courtyard floor. The queen rushed to her at once. "A baby in our castle? Once more?" Well, the husher, who no one had even noticed had come along, told the baby to hush, and the baby stopped crying and began cooing sweetly at once. "Oh, what a beautiful baby she is," said the king. "We will raise her as our own. We will name her Red Rose, for what rosy red cheeks she has." And in the morning, the gray mists just seem less gray. And the servant who was in charge of folding gray woolen blankets was tasked with sewing some colorful silk blankets for the new baby. And the servant who was tasked with making butter was also tasked with preparing infant formula in golden bottles. And the girl and boy who were in charge of making oatmeal were tasked with taking the infant for a stroll in the fresh air surrounding the castle walls every single day after breakfast, and with playing and picnicking with her in the rose garden courtyard. And they all lived happily ever after.